Chodesh. Mitzvah Shem coming up soon.
When's Rosh Chodesh? Thursday, right?
Rosh Chodesh is Thursday, Wednesday night. Emir Tzashem, yep. Tomorrow night. Tomorrow night is Rosh Chodesh Shvat. Rosh Hashanah lo ilonos. L'divrei Beishamai.
Beishamai.
L'divrei Beishamai. And, you know, it's someone reminded me of a... I saw a very cute tweet. It was a joke. It wasn't really a joke, but it's a bit of a galechta, where someone put out a tweet that said, "Today is Chanukah, and today we light one candle, and for the next 7 days, 8 days, every day we light one additional candle." That was the tweet. Today is Chanukah. It was the first day of Chanukah. Today we light one candle, and for the next 7 days, 7, 8 days, each day we increase one more candle. And then there was on the top from Twitter, there was a statement from Twitter on the tweet. This statement has been disputed by Beis Shammai. This statement is not 100% accurate. This has been disputed by Beis Shammai that says that today we light 8 candles and for the next 7 days we go poiches v'hoilech. I hope some of you understand the joke. All right, if you don't, then Ashrecha. I'm mekane you if you don't. If you haven't wasted your time on all this Narishkeit, then I'm mekane you if you don't appreciate that joke. In any event, Emir Tzashem, this Wednesday night is Rosh Chodesh Shvat. Rosh Hashanah lo ilonos ledivrei Beis Shammai. What else is significant about Rosh Chodesh Shvat? It is the beginning, the anniversary of Mishneh Torah. It says in the beginning of Chumash Devarim that it was be'ashtei osa yoim, be'ashtei osa chodesh, be'echad b'chodesh, the very beginning of Chumash Devarim tells us that it was on the first day of the 11th month that Moshe Rabbeinu began to relate Eskol Divrei HaTorah HaZayis. Moshe Rabbeinu began to repeat to Klal Yisrael, to review with them the entire Torah. Mishneh Torah began on Rosh Chodesh Shvat. It's a very significant day, Rosh Chodesh Shvat. And it's coming up, Mirat Hashem, soon, tomorrow night. So we yesterday discussed a little bit about Halal. On Rosh Chodesh, there's the minhag to recite Halal. Now I want to discuss another minhag on Rosh Chodesh, and that is to eat a su'udah. To eat a meal is the question. Is there a mitzvah to eat? Is there really a mitzvah to eat a real meal? What is called a meal? To eat bread, not bread? Is there a mitzvah to eat at night or only by day? What about if there are 2 days Rosh Chodesh? Is there a requirement to eat both days? So let's discuss some of these inyan very quickly. And then I want to talk about when you bench, you have to say Yal V'Yavai. And when you say Yal V'Yavai, there are many interesting related halachas about if you forget, and the bracha, special bracha if you do forget. What about Shabbos? If it's Shabbos, what about Shalosh Shudas? You go into the night. So let's go do one thing at a time. First of all, why should there be? Where can you show me a source that there is a requirement or there is such a custom to eat a special meal on Rosh Chodesh? We have plenty of sources for this. First of all, probably the most famous is the Haftorah of Shabbos Mochar Chodesh. Shabbos Mochar, whenever Rosh Chodesh falls out on a Sunday, generally, we lay on Shabbos a special Haftorah of David. We lay from Sefer Shmuel, where David and Yehoina's son David were Shaul HaMelech. We learn how he was, pardon the word, in regard to the holy king Shaul, but he was paranoid that David was going to succeed him. He recognized there's something not right, that the Shechina is leaving him and is coming upon David. He had an inner sense that David would be his successor, and it bothered him to no end. Because especially he really wanted that his son, Yehoina's son, should succeed him. And Yehoina's son and David were the best of friends. And we learn about this, the whole story. David was frightened. So David and Yehoina's son, David said to Yehoina, let's do a test. I'm not going to come tomorrow to the su'uda that your father is planning to make. I'm not going to come. There's going to be a 2-day su'uda. I'm not going to come day one, not day two. Let's see how your father reacts. So it says that on the first day, he asked, where is David? You know, the first day he didn't ask any questions at all. The first day he didn't ask. He did not ask any questions because he said to himself, maybe he's Tomei. He's not Tohar. It appears that in those days they ate kachim, they ate shlomim, and to eat shlomim you have to be in the state of Tahara. David was Tomei, so David didn't come because he was not permitted. But on the second day that he did not show up, he was suspicious. And he asked Yehoina's son, where is David? Yehoina's son lied. He said that David had a family simcha. And Shaul got very upset. He took his spear, he threw it at Yehoina's son, his own son, almost killed him. And when this happened, it was a clear Freudian slip. It was a Freudian slip. It was a clear indication that indeed, it was a confirmation that Yehoina's son, that Shaul, is acting irrationally, and David's life is in jeopardy, and David should flee. Those meals that we are discussing, when did they take place? I think it's the Pasuk. I think it's even the Pasuk. Those meals took place when? On the first 2 days of the month. It was Rosh Chodesh. I believe it says in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, let me find the Pasuk for you over here. Mochar Chodesh, right? Mochar Chodesh, that's how the Haftarah begins. So what am I thinking of here? Vayomer lo Yehoina's son, Mochar Chodesh, tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh, v'nifkadita, and you will be absent. That was the plan. So the first meal that David did not show up was Rosh Chodesh. And then it was the next day, the day after Rosh Chodesh, David also did not attend. Question, every day Shaul HaMelech had a meal? And David was expected to come? I mean, who does that today? You sit down to a meal every single day? What's going on over here? People are busy. They're busy, they're working, they're doing things. You have to have a formal, who has time for this? This was not an ordinary day. This is Rosh Chodesh. Vayomer lo Yehoina's son, Mochar Chodesh, v'nifkadita, and you will be absent. On Rosh Chodesh, we learn, we have a hint, we have a remez, that there is a custom, at least, to have a formal su'uda. Now the question is, why the next day? Why was Yehoina's son upset? He was so upset. First day he was quiet, he didn't say anything. But the second day, which means the second day of the month, then he exploded. Why was there a formal meal on the next day? It's already the second day of the month. So Mr. Elman here in the Shurim is saying because it was the second day of Rosh Chodesh. Mm-hmm. But in those times, they were Mekadesh al pi Re'ia. They sanctified the new year, the new month through the moon, when they saw the moon. And there was only one day of Rosh Chodesh. Either it was this day, the 30th day, or it would be the 31st day of the previous month would be Rosh Chodesh. It's not going to be 2 days in a row, unless there was some unique situation where like what happened in the Beis HaMikdash, where the witnesses came very late. There was an assumption that today would be the new month. Let's say it was a beautiful night, a beautiful clear moon. The night before, and everyone thought, for sure, today is Rosh Chodesh. Everyone can see the new moon. But for whatever reason, the Beis Din decided that it's necessary to extend the month by one day. That's permitted. So the people, the very simple answer to the question would be, it's a technical answer, is it the correct answer, is it not correct answer, I do not know, but a simple answer to the question is that indeed, the reason why there was a Su'uda, everyone came together was because the night before, there was a clear moon. Everyone in the whole Klal Yisrael can see there was a new moon. And it should have been obvious that tomorrow is going to be, today is going to be the first day of the month because the new moon is visible. But the Beis Din deliberately decided to close the court and not accept witnesses as they're permitted to do in order to delay Rosh Chodesh by one day because of a need. There was some conflict in the calendar. Maybe they didn't want Yom HaKippurim to fall out on Matzah Shabbos or Erev Shabbos, or there was something very pressing that was taking place in Klal Yisrael. Whatever the reasons were, they have the prerogative to delay the month by a day if they see fit. So the people don't know about that. They don't know what's going on inside of Beis Din, what they're thinking is. People think that tomorrow is going to, even the king does not necessarily know what's going to happen to the very last month. So they thought it's going to be Rosh Chodesh, so they planned. It's a beautiful moon. That means today for sure is Rosh Chodesh. Therefore, prepare the Rosh Chodesh meal tomorrow morning. They get up in the morning, they go to shul, they say halal, they have a musaf. Well, as you say, it's not really, whatever, I don't know. But the very last minute, Beis Din decides, no, we cannot make today Rosh Chodesh, we have to make it tomorrow Rosh Chodesh. So then what happens? The next day is Rosh Chodesh. Oh, so Nachamal, we have to have the Suda all over again. That explains why there was a Suda 2 days in a row. Vayomer lo Yohanes el Malchus Chodesh, and then there was a continuation of the Suda the following day. From what do you learn from that? If this is Pshat is correct, that not only is there an Inyan to have a Su'uda on one day Rosh Chodesh, there's an Inyan to have a Su'uda on both days Rosh Chodesh. Maybe you can argue that, even if you'll prove to me that indeed there is such a principle that one should have a meal on Rosh Chodesh, it's enough to have it on the real Rosh Chodesh. This that we have today, 2 days Rosh Chodesh, is only to preserve Minig Avoseinu B'Yodeinu, and we have, whenever we have a month that has 30 days, so we'll have Rosh Chodesh on day 30 and on day 31, and the real Rosh Chodesh is on day 31, not on day 30. So maybe one can argue, since this is only a custom to have a Su'uda, or we'll cite some other sources, it's enough to have the Su'uda on the second day Rosh Chodesh, which is the real Rosh Chodesh. But on the first day Rosh Chodesh, which really is the last day of the previous month, that's not required. We learn from the story of Yohanan and David and Shaul, they had a Su'uda 2 days in a row. Vayomer lo Yohanan el Malchus Chodesh, and then we find the Su'uda going on for 2 days. Even so, what is that all about? It's a tough question to answer. But the possible answer is that there was some change in plan, and the result was it was a 2 day Rosh Chodesh, and we know this is true because we had this when it came to the Beis Hamikdash. There was also Rosh Hashanah, it was also 2 days. That was for a different. The witnesses didn't come till the very end of the day. There are other scenarios. Okay, we're not going to spend a whole shiur on this. There are other scenarios of how you can have a two-day Rosh Chodesh, and that would explain why there was a 2 day Rosh Chodesh, why there were two meals 2 days in a row, and that itself is an extremely important lesson. And maybe that itself is the reason why we lay in this Haftorah to emphasize that indeed when there are 2 days Rosh Chodesh, do not make light of the first day Rosh Chodesh. Although it's only Minig Avosinu B'Yodeinu, it's still significant. Both days have equal sanctity, and both days deserve a special meal, just like David was expected to come to the king and eat the Su'uda Rosh Chodesh on the first day, on the second day, and he did not show up either, and that led to this whole story that we read about. But both days have equal significance and deserve their own meal. Now let's come to awesome. Once we're talking about 2 days, let's talk about another issue, and then we'll
you
come.
You mean 29 and 30?
No, 30 and 31. Normally, a month has at least 29 days. That's a guarantee. Every month has 29 complete days. Now, what happens on day 30? So sometimes day 30 is day one of the next month, correct? And sometimes day 30 is day 30. And what would be day 31 is day one. When does the new month begin? Does the new month begin on if you continue to count from the beginning? You're up to day 30. Day 30 you get to day 29. You complete 29 complete days. Now you enter into day 30. Is day 30 day 30 of the previous month? Or is day 30 day number 1 of the next month? So it depends. It depends if the month is mole or choser. If the previous month is mole, full, that means we give the previous month 30 days. So day 30 is day 30. Day 31 becomes day 1 of the next month. If the month is choser, that means the month is only 29 days. Then day 29 is the last day. Day 30 is day number 1. Whenever you have a month that is choser, 29 days, we have 2 days Rosh Chodesh. What would be day 30 and day 31? Day 30 is part of the old month, and day 31 becomes the first day in the next month. We see that David HaMelech and Shaul and Yohanan, they celebrated 2 days Rosh Chodesh, and we take from that a principle that Bizman Hazeh, when we have a 2 day Rosh Chodesh, meaning the previous month is a month that is Mole, both days have equal sanctity, and both days deserve its own meal, its own special food, just like by David, Yohanan, and Shaul. Now let's discuss a question. Can a person fulfill this minhag by eating a su'uda at night? Let's say it's now the night of this. Let's say Rosh Chodesh Shvat is only one. Rosh Chodesh is only 1 day Rosh Chodesh, because the month that we're in right now is Choser. Right. So right now we're in Teves, and Teves only has 20. Twenty-nine days. Only has 29 days. So tomorrow, Wednesday in the morning, tomorrow, tonight and tomorrow is day 29. There is no 30. Day 30 is day 1. So being that it is a month that is choser, and day 30 is day 1, there's only 1 day, Rosh Chodesh. That's this. So now here's the question: can you be yoytze this principle that we find by? Let's just work with one thing at a time. We only so far cited one source. There are many sources for the suda, but this meal that we're describing here, that we observe, special meal that David Shaul Yohanan observed on Rosh Chodesh, can you fulfill your obligation to have that meal on the night of Rosh Chodesh? Which would mean for us tomorrow night, Wednesday night, I'm going to sit down and have a meal. Ordinarily, I wouldn't wash. You're going to wash, you eat bread, and you're going to bench, say, Birchas HaMazon, you recite the Alav Yavai, and in the meal, you'll have special food. Or do we say, no, the Su'udah must take place by day. If you have the Su'udah at night, it is invalid. Now, we gave a source from David HaMelech and Shaul. It doesn't really tell us very much. One thing we do know, we assume it took place by day. Okay, that's what it seems to say. I mean, the assumption over here from the story is that the meal that they had took place by day, not at night. So if you want to go take that story literally and assume that it took place by day, and you want to jump to the conclusion that just like that's the source and there the suda was by day, so you do not fulfill your obligation unless you have the suda by day. Is that really...
Where is it proved from Mocha Chodesh Perek that it was by day?
So Rav Mordechai Binestak is asking, where does it say that it was by day? I don't know. It doesn't. Actually, I don't think it does. But you certainly get that impression. It doesn't make any sense what I just said, right? It doesn't make any sense. But read the psukim. Read the psukim and ask the average person, did this meal take place by day or by night? You get the impression it took place by day. I don't know why. Maybe I'm in fantasy world. I'm naive and foolish and don't have my facts straight. For some reason, you get the impression it took place by day. I don't know. Okay, let's go to some other sources. Another source, a very similar source.
Rabbi,
yeah.
Rabbi,
yeah.
I can see them. This is by day.
What?
They make every Chodesh, the Rebbe makes a tish.
By day. Who says, well, why does he have to make it by day? Maybe we should make it at night, so everyone will, they'll have more free time. They'll have more time to surf the web by day.
You have to learn.
why do they make... So this is a chat. I'm leading up to something. I just want to leading up. So let's cite some other psukim. Let us cite I know what I'll prove to you. I think I found the proof. The proof is because it says there in the pasuk, when on the second day when David did not show up, Yohanan's son asked, where is David? Yohanan said that David told me, ki zevach mishpocha lanu. Now it's not an absolute proof, but it would seem that they offered it was a family day to offer a sacrifice. You only are permitted to offer sacrifices by day. So if the excuse for not showing up is because kizevach mishpocha lanu,
that's only the Beis HaMikdash. That's only the Beis HaMikdash.
But he's saying that's why he's not here. Why is David not sitting at the table right now? Where is David? Shol es Yohanan's son. Right now, we're sitting at the dining room table. Where is David? So what does he say? He says, kizevach mishpocha lanu. Right now, he is participating at what is called a zevach mishpacha. A zevach mishpacha, a zevach can only be offered by day. Right? Now, it's not an absolute proof.
That's
it's
only the Beis HaMikdash.
I know, but so right, that it's only in the
Beis HaMikdash. Who said that?
Yeah.
It's like a private bummer, whatever.
It's not even a private, but we're dealing with time. Right now, Shaul is sitting in his private home. Not in the Beis HaMikdash, not in Obama. Shaul HaMelech is sitting at home,
right?
And he asks, where is David? Yohanan says, David right now is participating in the offering of a korban. Now, David can only offer a korban by day, not at night. If David is participating at this very moment in the Beis HaMikdash, offering a sacrifice, that means... What? The Mishkan. Find the Mishkan. They right now in Mishkan, Noiv Givon. It was probably even Noiv Givon. David right now is in Givon. He's participating in the offering of a private sacrifice. That's why he's not here right now. That automatically tells us that the moment that we're discussing, when Shaul is asking the question, where is David? It's in the middle of the day. Because it's not an excuse. When you say the reason why David is not here is because David is busy. If David is bringing a carbon right now, the carbon can only be offered by day. I think it's pretty clear, unless you want to. Let's leave it with that. But that's not the only source why there is a mitzvah or a custom. It's a very big dilemma. Is it a mitzvah? Is it a custom? How do you define the obligation to offer to eat on Rosh Chodesh? Other source is it's a pasuk in the Torah. Uviyoim simchaschem, on the day of your joy, uvimoyadechem, your festivals, uveroshei chodsheichem, and on Rosh Chodesh, usekatem bachatzoitzrois, you shall blow the trumpets. The pasuk goes on there to say you shall blow the trumpets. So what are the days that it tells you? The day of Simcha, the day of your festivals, and uver roshei chod sheichem, and your roshei chod sheichem. Those are the days when you have to blow the trumpets. Now, what exactly does it mean of Yom Simchaschem? There are different opinions in the Gemara as to what Yom Simchaschem refers to. And what does it refer to, v'moyadeichem? But the fact that uver roshei chod sheichem is included in this trial, three things are equated together. Uviyoim simchaschem, uvimoadechem, the day of your joy, the day of your festivals, and the day of your Rosh Hashanah. Even though the pasuk is not addressing eating, the pasuk is addressing the mitzvah to sound the trumpets, special mitzvah in the Beis HaMikdash, to blow trumpets on these days. The fact that they are equated, it awakens us to realize there's something very special, very joyous about Rosh Chodesh. It would not be equated with a day of Simcha and a day of Moed if it was not a joyous. Thus, it's a logical conclusion that on Rosh Chodesh, you should do things that are similar to what you do on days of Simcha and days of Moed. And what do you do on days of Simcha and days of Moed? You don't eulogize, you don't fast, and you have a joyous meal. It's as simple as that. Now, is this a halacha that's etched in stone? No, it's not. It's not a mishnah. It's not a gemara. But is there? Is there? There is obviously a custom, And it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. In fact, I mean, it does. There is a siman in Shulchan Aruch. It's one of the only. There are only two simanim in Arachayim that have only one siman, Malava Malka and Seudas Rosh Chodesh. So it is cited in Shulchan Aruch, this custom of having a meal. Where did the Mechaber get it from? Well, here is a very nice source. Here is a very strong indication. So we have two indications. Now let's take a look at this. If this is the source, does this tell us when the meal has to be? Possibly, because we do know that lahalocha, when it comes to the moadim, the shalosh regalim, there is a mitzvah to have a su'udah at night. There is a mitzvah to have a su'udah at night. It's equal to the su'udah we have by day. So if this is going to be our primary source, then having a su'udah at night would seemingly be 100% valid. If you want to take the source of David and Shaul and Yehoiada's son, and you want to go to the nth degree and say, zevach mishpacha lanu, zevach mishpacha, and the zevach is by day, then you can argue, no, the su'udah must take place by day. But if you want to go to this as your primary source, pasuk in the Torah, then the conclusion is that the su'udah can be even at night. What else? Another primary source for the su'udah is the Gemara that tells us that in order to encourage people to come to Beis Din to testify that they saw the new moon, you know what they did? You know how you encourage people to come? Food. It always works. Food. When you give people free food, kiddush, they come running. We know this works. This has been proven from time immemorial. So in order to encourage people to come to Beis Din to testify, Beis Din made a su'udah in honor of the witnesses that came to the Beis Din to be mekadesh the levana. When we have a su'udas rosh chodesh, some of the commentators suggest it is a zecher for the su'uda that the Beis Din made to encourage and thank and be mechazek the need for the tzibur to come forward and testify that they saw the new moon. Now, if that is our primary source for our su'uda on Rosh Chodesh, you can argue the ikar su'uda should be at night. Because when did they make this su'uda? They're not allowed to testify at night. The truth is, you can't testify at night. So maybe I'm making a mistake. But not 100%, because the su'udah was in commemoration for the people that came to testify what they saw at night. The event that the witnesses are testifying is uniquely limited to the evening. You only can testify about the Levana when you see that night. That's the law. The Levana has to be seen at night. And the witnesses come by day to testify what they saw at night. And in commemoration for this, they had the su'udah. It doesn't even tell us when the su'udah was. They can mekadesh the Levana at the very end of the day and they have the su'udah the following night. And again, like I'm trying to suggest, is that the whole su'udah is to commemorate an event that took place at night. To come to see at night, to look, go outside and look at the moon and look for it and go to Beis Din. So then maybe you can argue it's a zecher for all of this, and maybe Adrabba, the best time to have the su'udah is bedavka, to have it at night. Now, there's another piece of Gemara which is very critical to this as well. The Gemara, it's not a Gemara, it's a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi in Masechta Megillah is discussing an unrelated matter about su'udas Purim. We have a mitzvah on Purim to have a meal. A meal, one of the mitzvahs of Purim, Mishloach Manos, and Matanis Le'avyonim, Mikra Megillah, and there's a mitzvah of Su'udas Purim. And the Gemara there is talking about the expense, I forgot which, they're talking about different halachas regarding the mitzvah of the Su'udah, of how much money you have to spend, how much it has to cost, different related matters. And in that piece of the Gemara just throws in, Kila'achar Yad, incidentally, that these halachas apply equally to the su'udah of Purim and the su'udas, the Gemara has those words, su'udas Rosh Chodesh. Okay, so Yerushalmi in Megillah, Perek Aleph, Halacha Dalet, where the Gemara in there in Yerushalmi discusses the laws of the Seuda, specifically the cost, the financial details of the Seuda, and the Gemara, out of nowhere, it just groups the two together and says, Seudas Rosh Chodesh. Those words never appear in the Talmud Bavli. You can take out your computer and search the 2,711 pages of the Talmud Bavli. You'll never find an occurrence of the words Seudas Rosh Chodesh in the Talmud Bavli. It only appears in the Talmud Yerushalmi, in Masechet Megillah, describing the laws of the Seudas Purim, and there, for some reason, it just brings the two together. Now, if you bring the two together, we got a problem. You know what the problem is? If the two are lumped together and they're very similar, we know the halach is that you are not yoytzei the Seudas Purim at night. Yimei mishta v'simcha, the Gemara makes a drasha, Yimei has to be by day, not at night. You can start it by day, go into the following evening, but the Seudas Purim must take place by day. If the Talmud Yerushalmi joins together Rosh Chodesh with Purim, perhaps that's an indication that the Seuda Rosh Chodesh also must take place specifically by day. And if you observe the Seuda at night, you have not fulfilled your obligation. So we have over here conflicting. I'll give you another source. Another source comes from Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer, a Medrash. Famous Medrash, a Mechol is a Boki in Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer, if I may say so. And in Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer, it says something, an old Medrash, Minog Godol b'Yisrael, she'oisin su'uda b'roshei chodoshim uv'yomtuf, he puts together, kidei she'nizkar tefilas ha'musafim. It's a reminder. Don't forget to daven musaf. Don't forget. You have to daven musaf. The tzvil of musafim. Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer.
No, but perek in there.
He doesn't say here. Okay. No, I don't know. He doesn't cite a source. Unfortunately, maybe he did somewhere else here. Unfortunately, he just says, Tam Noisef Kosvu B'Shem Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer. This is the name of the sefer that I'm using. Okay. I'm sure you can find it. Look it up over here.
Shame means he didn't look it up.
No, I'm sure. I don't know. He has so much over here in this sefer. It's hard to say he didn't look it up. The sefer is jam-packed.
All right.
I actually never saw anything like this. Okay. Such a collection of ideas and very, very high-level stuff. And he says here, in order to remember tefilas ha-musafim, v'sha'asur, he goes further. He said, it's a quotation. V'sha'asur, Rosh Chodesh v'asiyas melacha l'nashim. That's a whole different topic. That women are prohibited to do melacha on Rosh Chodesh. The Yom Tov af l'anashim, and it's also a festival for men. But any event, a whole new idea. Don't forget to daven musaf. When do you daven musaf? By day. If the purpose of the Seuda is associated with musaf, I think this is telling us that the meal has to take place by day, not at night. Because the musaf is a subject that can only be done by day. So when we have over here, I think we've given four reasons, and there are more reasons than this, but at least we've gone through four reasons. Number one, David, Yehoinasan, and Shaul. Number two, Uviyom Simchaschem Uvimo Adechem Uvirashechot Shechem. Number three, the Gemara, where is the Gemara found? In Sanhedrin. Venoagu Kol Yisrael Lasoy Suuda Gidoila Mibnei Kivoir Hayoim. Oh, no, so there's another reason. There's a fifth reason over here. I'm sorry. I told you the reason because of, in honor of the people who came to the Beis Din. We have four reasons. People came to Beis Din. David, number three, was to remember that you should not forget to say Musaf. And the fourth reason was what? Was the Gemara, the Yerushalmi, it's just a mention. The Yerushalmi just happens to, it doesn't have really a source. It just happens to mention the two together. He cites here another reason. He cites here He says from the Rishonim. He quotes from who? The Kolboy. Okay, the Kolboy. The Kolboy lived at the time of the First Crusade. No, I'm sorry, a little bit later. The Geirush, the time of the Srefas HaTalmud. The Kolboy lived in France. He lived the time of the Srefas HaTalmud. He wrote a sefer called the Kol. It was like the Kitzer Shulchan Aruch of the day. And he writes, the reason why you have a Su'uda is to celebrate that it's a day of Mechila U'Slicha, just like Yom Kippur. V'rashe Hashem Zman Kapora L'chol Toledosan. In honor, to take note that on Rosh Chodesh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgives us, so they have Slichu Mechila, that's a cause for celebration. And thus, we celebrate on Rosh Chodesh to acknowledge the gift that Hashem has given us, that He has forgiven us from our sins. Now, would that indicate when you should fast? And neither by when you should have the Suda? Not really. You can say what you want to say. In any event, we have over here many different reasons why we have a Suda on Rosh Chodesh. We've given out a total of five. One is not really a reason, one is just a reference. A reference that's found in the Yerushalmi, and then there were four reasons that we've given.
Rabbi Levine. Yeah. Rabbi Levine. Hello. Rabbi Levine, can we say that the din is that the person Harish Chaydush, if the person forgets Yalla B'Yobah, he doesn't have to repeat it. Why is it? Because Amy Kachin is Chaydush Belayla. So that would be related to the reason that you mentioned before about Aiden coming. That's connected, right?
They're not, well, that's a separate halach. That's a separate topic in and of itself. That if you forget to say Yalla B'Yobah at night, you don't repeat the Shemona Esrei, because the Bezdin does not actually. Right. Sanctify the bezin, sanctifies the moon only. It's a mice of bezin. Anything that is an act of the court must be done by day, cannot be done at night. However, the witnesses, when they come to testify, they're testifying about an event that took place at night. The witnesses have to go out in the dark and look for the moon, see the moon. And then, whenever they want, they come to court, they can come to court immediately. Bezin will not accept their testimony until day. That's the halacha. Bezdin only operates by daylight hours. But when they are in operation, the witnesses are testifying about an event that occurred at night. The testimony concerns an event that hadn't been at night. If the witnesses say we saw the moon by day, I don't believe it's accepted. I'm not sure. And you can see the moon by day sometimes also, the end of the day, beginning of the day. But generally, the moon is seen at night. The Chidush HaLevon is seen at night. The Su'udah that was made in honor of the witnesses was there to encourage them, to thank them and encourage them to come. So we're encouraging them to do what? To go out in the middle of the night and look for the moon to see it so that they can come the next day and testify that they saw a new moon. Can you argue? Maybe this argument is not correct, but is there room to argue that if the entire Suda we observe today is in commemoration of the Suda that the Bezdin made in honor of the witnesses who were encouraged to look in the middle of the night for the new moon, it relates to the evening. It relates to an event that takes place in the evening. It's true. The witnesses can only testify by day.
And the whole idea of the Levana is at night. There's no Levana in the day to begin with.
Exactly. So you're struggling what I'm trying to say. Okay, in any event, we have one mention, the Yerushalmi. We've given four different reasons. And you take these different reasons, you can play with it all you want. Back and forth to answer the dilemma is, does a person fulfill the obligation that it says in Shulchan Aruch to have a Suda if he has the Suda at night, not by day? You can play with this back and forth. Halacha l'mayis, the answer is yes, you can. That's how we pass it.
Okay.
We pass in that if you have the Suda at night, you have fulfilled your obligation. What is the nature of the obligation? It's not at all clear. Some say it's a real halacha, you must do. And some say no, it's a custom. You don't have to do nothing. It's not an obligation. It's a very nice thing to do. You'll earn points. You'll have an appreciation for the mitzvah, but it's not an obligation. And again, some say you must. Whatever it is, the bottom line is we paskin that you can do it. Now here's an interesting application of this halacha. When you have 2 days Rosh Chodesh, the Poskim say you can do something very simple to fulfill your obligation. Dinner. Have a su'udah at the very end of the first day and let that meal extend into the night. Now that we have concluded that you can fulfill your obligation, Gesundheit, Mark. Gesundheit. I can hear you. No, you're on mute, but I can still hear you. The world is shaking when you sneeze. It's echoing here. When a person, when we built up two steps in an hour discussion. Number one, there's an obligation to have a suda both days, day one and day two. Number two, we've concluded that the halach that you fulfill your obligation if you have the suda at night. Now let's take advantage. If you have an obligation day one and day two and you can have suda at night, you know what you do? At the end of day number one, start your meal. And let your meal extend into the evening. So you have one meal with one slice of bread and one birchas hamozain, and you've recited Yale v'yavoy in benching only once, but it has spanned 2 days. It has spanned 2 days. It's like Yom HaRichta. You think only January 6th is Yom HaRichta? It feels like it's still January 6th to me. Here you have Rosh Chodesh. It's a Yom HaRichta. You start your meal when it's the end of the day, and you continue it into the evening, and then you bench. It's one slice of bread, one Yale v'yavo, one Birchas HaMazon, and you fulfill everything. You've eaten a meal on both days of Rosh Chodesh, as is the halacha, and it's permitted because we paskin that you're allowed to fulfill your obligation at night. So the first day the meal was by day, and the second day the meal was at night. Okay, so this is an interesting concept of how you can have it both. Now, you know where it becomes very relevant? It becomes very relevant by Shalosh Shuras. When you have Shabbos and Sunday is Rosh Chodesh. Okay, if Shabbos is Rosh Chodesh and Sunday is Rosh Chodesh, so you're going to say, this eights that I've given you, you'll tell me it's ridiculous. People don't do that. People are busy. They can't keep track of time. When you're going to tell me someone's going to sit down, to a meal 5 minutes before sunset and eat and wait for 45 minutes until it's dark and then bench, come on. Who's able to keep track of all this? But you know what happens when it really happens? It happens for real when if you go eat Shalosh Shuras in shul, okay, it's many people, it used to be at least, I don't know, I can't speak for everyone, at least go to Shalosh Shuras in shul, and Rosh Chodesh is Shabbos, and is Sunday, and Shalosh Shuras, and you start the Shalosh Shuras 5 minutes before sunset, and you're eating. You should eat, keep on eating, eat before you bench. I mean, it depends what time you bench. But usually Shabbos is over, you wait, you're more machmer for Shabbos to be over, you wait, let's say, 50 minutes or 60 minutes. So if you'll eat a little piece of bread, a little piece right before you bench, at the very end of Shalosh Su'udos, so you're already in the next day. This, that on Shabbos, we wait a very long time in all of the shuls to daven ma'ariv, because Shabbos were very machmer. But the truth is, the day it's already Shabbos is really over a long time ago. That's really, technically speaking, you can assume we're very machmer to wait for. But if you'll eat, take a kazayis, which is not very much of food, and eat it right before you bench, you could be makel, and you could assume that's more than enough time has passed. And it's already tseisak echavim. It's already the second day Rosh Chodesh, and you're eating this l'shem mitzvah sudas Rosh Chodesh. So you've eaten a meal of Shalosh Shuras, which started on Shabbos, extended into Mitzvah Shabbos, and now you bench, and you say Yalla V'yavo. You've fulfilled your obligation of having the Su'udas Rosh Chodesh on both days Rosh Chodesh. That's what comes out. Okay, now let's talk about a few, with a little time is going by very quickly over here. Let's talk about a few more similar. What exactly do you have to eat? What exactly is the obligation of eating on Rosh Chodesh? Now let's say a person's a very good, every single day he has a meal. He has bread. It's the right thing to do. You have the greatest skula. People, they do the most bizarre things for skula. They'll run to the end of the world, go to Kfarim. Someone's begging me, I should go with him. He wants to go. He's going on this Sunday to a kever of a tzaddik. Far away, no one ever goes to. He tells me he's a mace mitzvah. I'm thinking to myself, mace mitzvah? What does that mean? You're telling me that I should go with you to the cemetery, drive 2 hours to the cemetery, to daven by this person's kever, and then drive 2 hours back, in order because you've done research and you know that this person is a very holy tzaddik, and by going to him we're gonna bring salvation to the whole world, by davening by this kever, and you're telling me he's a meis mitzvah, the dead person is a meis mitzvah. I mean, like, are you serious? I'm not denying the fact that he's a very big tzaddik and there's an inyan to go to kivrei tzaddikim. You have nothing else to do on Sunday. You have nothing to do on Sunday. This is what you want to do on Sunday? Listen, some, I'm not, who am I to say? No. There's a much bigger skula. You know what the bigger skula is? Sit down, eat bread, and bench. Spend 10 minutes benching like a mensch and say every single word of benching. This is off the charts. Off the charts. Greater, more holy, will accomplish for you infinitely more than running, driving 2 hours to what you call a meis mitzvah. The basics. V'yachalto v'savatu v'irachto, all of the mamori chazal and the poiskim nigdol neitam. To bench like a mensch is an incredible thing. It's an incredible, brings incredible blessing. So there are people that are very good people and they do this every single day. They eat bread and they wash and they bench. It's Rosh Chodesh. Does that count as their su'uda, su'das Rosh Chodesh? I'm going to eat exactly the same thing I anyway would have eaten. The only difference is I'm having kavana, intent, that today, being that it is Rosh Chodesh, I want this to be my Rosh Chodesh meal. Does it count? If a person every single day does not eat bread, he just snacks, or eats things that are not, or that are, you know, less significant, whatever that means exactly, and now it's Rosh Chodesh, he upgrades his menu, okay? But if a person is anyway eating on Rosh Chodesh, anyway, but the person just now says, what I'm going to eat now, I'm having kavana, it should be l'shem mitzvahs Rosh Chodesh. Does that count? Not so simple. The Pashtus is it does not count. What appears to be, from what I'm reading over here in this Sefer, he explains the principle of Shabbos as well. A person on Shabbos, we know on Shabbos you have a meal. In Shulchan Aruch it's brought down that the meal you have on Shabbos is supposed to be different than the meal you have during the week. A person every single day of the week, he eats a meal, he eats bread, eats a bread meal, and on Shabbos he eats a bread meal. Why is that called Shabbos? Why is that called, so you're right, it's not. The Shulchan Aruch, if you eat the same thing you eat on Shabbos and eat the whole week, if you're such a person where you eat exactly the same meal all 7 days a week, you have not fulfilled the mitzvah of giving kavod to Shabbos. In order to give kavod to Shabbos, you have to do on Shabbos something different. And that, according to many, translates to Rosh Chodesh as well. On Rosh Chodesh, the goal is it should be something different. If the whole week you don't eat a certain dish, a certain food, and this food you consider to be more delicious, more dignified, or the whole week you'll never wash for bread, but today it's Rosh Chodesh to wash for bread, that's called honor. That's the rule for Shabbos, and that's the rule, the same rule for Rosh Chodesh. This applies across the board, even clothing. For example, clothing, many people argue today, but let's say if you have a person who's a lawyer, and he has to always dress in a suit, or a rabbi who wears a certain attire during the week. And it's Shabbos. What does he do on Shabbos? He wears the same thing. He wears, now you'll say he wears a nicer suit. He has his weekday suit as a nicer suit. So there are many poskim that say that's not enough. Having a nicer set of clothing that are the same, technically, we don't follow this, but I want to just bring out the point, is not a fulfillment of giving honor to Shabbos. giving honor to Shabbos in its fullest extent is to do something different. If during the week you never wear a tie, never, and on Shabbos you put on a tie, that's called covered Shabbos. If during the week you'll never wear a jacket, and Shabbos you wear a jacket, that's called covered Shabbos. During the week you wear a jacket and a pair of pants that don't match, you know, it's different casual wear, and then on Shabbos you wear a suit, matching jacket and pants, different, that's Shabbos. If during the week you wear a suit that costs $200, and on Shabbos you wear a suit that costs $500, that is not called covered Shabbos. You have not done anything significantly different. It may be nicer, maybe more elaborate, more expensive, but in essence, it's exactly the same. Okay, there was a certain Rosh Yeshiva, it's a joke, but it's not a joke. They during the weekday, they wore a frock and a big up hat. Shabbos, they wore a regular short jacket and a regular simple down hat, regular simple hat with a brim that went down. Why? During the week, those are my work clothing. I'm a Rosh Hashiva. I'm a Rosh Hashiva during the week. I have Talmidim. I have to dress the part. So during the week, those are my big day chol. Shabbos, I wear something different. I wear a regular suit. I'm not in the yeshiva on Shabbos. My yeshiva does not demand that I come in on Shabbos. So I wear on Shabbos something, a different type of garment. Many Talmidei Chachamim, it's just the opposite. During Talmidei Chachamim, you find that during the weekday, they wear a short jacket, and on Shabbos, they wear a frock. What's all that about? It's a different type of garment. And in order to mechabit the Shabbos, it's not just enough that you wear something more expensive. To fulfill the real Kavod Shabbos is to wear something different. Again, halacha l'maisa, don't get carried with anything that I say, and certainly not this, that that's not our custom. Our custom is, if you wear a little bit nicer, more expensive, that's called Shabbos clothing. During the week, you wear a suit, and on Shabbos, you wear a more expensive suit, a nicer suit, a newer suit, a fresher suit, that's cool, that's halacha l'maisa, that's certainly sufficient. But that principle is a very powerful principle, and it applies to food. A food, in order to give cover to Shabbos, it means to eat a food on Shabbos that you do not eat during the week. This type of food is miyuchod for Shabbos. And Rosh Chodesh is exactly the same. So if the whole week a person eats a slice of bread with some peanut butter, and now it's Rosh Chodesh, and you're going to wash for the same slice of bread with peanut butter, and you're going to declare, today is Rosh Chodesh, this is going to be my Seudas Rosh Chodesh, you have not fulfilled your obligation because you have not done something different. You have to upgrade and do something a little bit different to show, to give honor that it's different. Now, I want to discuss the Yalev Yavo. Very interesting. Yalev Yavo, someone mentioned this, Rabbi Neumann touched upon this, something very, very fascinating about the Yalev Yavo. We recite Yalev Yavo, there are a lot of laws about Yalev Yavo. A lot of different, very complicated laws of the Yalev Yavo in Shmoneh Esrei, in davening, and in Birchas Hamazon. Now the halacha is, if you forget to recite Birchas Hamazon, and if you forget to recite Yalev Yavo in Birchas Hamazon on Rosh Chodesh, you do not repeat the Birchas Hamazon. You do not, under no condition. Why? Because this requirement to eat bread is not absolute. It's not an absolute requirement. And therefore, if you do not eat bread, you do not repeat the benching. The only time you are required to repeat the Birchas HaMazon if you omit either Ritzeh or Yalev Yavo is when you have an absolute obligation to eat bread, which requires you to recite the Birchas HaMazon, the full Birchas HaMazon. We accept la halacha that you do have an obligation, absolute obligation, to eat bread on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. And that would require you, by halacha, to recite the Birchas HaMazon. And therefore, once that obligation has been triggered, it has to be done the correct way, with the Yalev Yavo and or the Ritzeh. And if it's not done, then you have to repeat the Yalev Yavo and the Ritzeh. You have to repeat the entire thing, because the meal, you are obligated to eat bread, which triggers a requirement to recite the Birchas HaMazon. which includes the Yalav Yavam, the Ritzei. And if it's not done, then it has to be done again. But on Rosh Chodesh, you do not have an absolute requirement to eat bread. This is a mitzvah, which means it should be done, but it's not an absolute requirement. Or some will tell you that it's only a custom. It's a lower level. And some will tell you you don't necessarily even need to eat bread. You can eat any delicacy that enhances the day to show that today is Rosh Chodesh. Bread is not a requirement. If bread is not a requirement, then Birchas HaMazon is not a requirement. Thus, if you do not recite the Birchas HaMazon correctly by omitting the Yalav Yavo, you do not repeat the Birchas HaMazon under any condition if you forget to say it if you forget to say it. Now, what about davening? So we know that davening, this is not sure about davening, what about davening? We know that in davening, if you forget to say Yalav Yavo in Shmoneh Esrei, on Rosh Chodesh, there is a difference between Ma'ariv and Shachas HaMincha. Ma'ariv, if you forget to say Yalav Yavo, you do not repeat the Shmoneh Esrei. Why? Because Beis Din, being that Rosh Chodesh is something which relates very much to Beis Din, the new month depended upon the declaration of the Beis Din, and Beis Din did not sanctify the new month at night. Any act of the court, of the Jewish court, can only halachically be done by day, not at night. Beis Din was not. You can't say they were not in operation. They were in operation. They did work at night, but there was no official decree or official decision made in the evening, which includes there was no sanctification of the new month at night. Thus, Shmoneh Esrei, Yalav Yavo, and Ma'ariv, if it is accidentally omitted, it is not repeated. But by day, if you leave out the Yalav Yavo, you must repeat the Shmoneh Esrei.
Why isn't the repetition at night for Ma'ariv?
What?
Why
is it? Because Mordechai is asking the question, which we're repeating, because it's Beis Din. Rosh Chodesh depends upon Beis Din. The essence of Rosh Chodesh is the Beis Din. Beis Din decides. Beis Din has to listen to the testimony, decide if the testimony is correct, and if it's correct, they declare the month to be the new month. It's not Rosh Chodesh until Beis Din makes the proclamation, until Beis Din issues the sanctification. That act of court cannot be done at night. It's Gzeres HaKosef. Beis Din only operates by day, not at night. Thus, since the essence of Rosh Chodesh is rooted in the decision of the court, and the court is not in operation at night, anything that you do at night that's not essential, is not required. Therefore, the consequences are that if a person forgets to recite Yalev Yavo at Ma'ariv, both the first day and the second day, it makes no difference. You do not repeat the Shmoneh Esrei. So here is the question. Here is a very interesting question. I need a sitter. One second, please. Here is a dilemma which really touches upon a lot of things. Opens up a can of worms. If a person, let's go to the daytime. Person, he has a bread meal. It's Rosh Chodesh, and he benches, and guess what? He forgets to say Yalav Yavo. Is all hope lost? No. We know this from Shabbos, from Yom Tov. Chazal, they did something very interesting. They created what's called a bracha. Brachos lemi sheshochach. A blessing for the one who forgets. And any good siddur, years ago they didn't have these, you didn't even know where to find these things. Before Arshul came along, you didn't even know these things existed. It's a Shulchan Aruch. And Arshul printed all of these blessings after Birchas HaMazon. It's called Brachos Lemi Sheshochach. So there's a bracha here. There's a short blessing. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Asher Nosan Roshei Chodoshim Le'amo Yisrael Lezikoroin. It's a short blessing. The other blessings are much more elaborate. And this blessing is said if a person concludes, Baruch Atah Hashem, Bonei V'Rachamav, Yerushalayim, Amen. He concludes the blessing, Bonei V'Rachamav, Yerushalayim, Amen. And then he realizes, oh no, I forgot to say Yalev Yavo. Forgot. What do you do now? So should I go back to the beginning and start again? No, because that we know that you don't do on Rosh Chodesh. But there is still hope. You know what the hope is? You can now say the bracha l'mi sheshachach. At this point, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Asher Nasan Roshei Chodeshim Li'amo Yisrael L'Zikaron. And this is the same rule that we have for Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh. If a person forgets to bench the whole benching, he forgets to say Ritzei, what do? You have to repeat the whole benching. But let's say you remember after you finish Bonei V'Rachamav Yerushalayim Amen, and you did not yet begin the next blessing. And now you remember at this point, so you turn back to the page with the Baruch L'mi Sheshachach, and you say the Baruch, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Asher Nasan Shabbosois L'Menucha Le'amo Yisrael Be'ahava. If it's a yomtiv, then there's a special bracha yisel misha shachach on yomtiv. So Rosh Chodesh, same thing. Here's the dilemma: what happens if at night, it's nighttime, you're having your su'uda at night? We started today with you have a su'uda at night. Remember this whole discussion we had today? Everything comes ties together. We had a whole dilemma. Is a person obligated to have, does a person fulfill his obligation of Sudas Rosh Chodesh, the Sud at night? So this fellow, yeah, I'm going to have my Sud at night. And he sits down to a bread meal and he eats bread and he now benches. And he comes to the end of benching, comes to the Baruch, V'nei Yerushalayim, Baruch Atah Hashem, Bonei V'Rachamav, Yerushalayim, Amen. And now he stops and he realizes, oh no, I forgot to say Yaleh V'Yavo. So what would you think he does at this moment in time? Oh, you forgot to say Yalav Yavo? No problem. The rabbis got you covered. They got your back. Just turn the page, and you say now the bracha, L'misha Shochach. Wait a minute. You're telling this fellow to make an entire new blessing? It's not simple to make a bracha levatala. Make a blessing? He'll say, oh, he's not saying a bracha levatala. This is the halacha. The halacha demands that he should make this bracha. Wait a minute, not so fast. If you were in shul tonight and you forgot to say Yalev Yavo in your Shmona Esrei, would you be required to repeat the Shmona Esrei? No, you would not. You would not be required. Tomorrow morning, by Shachris, if you would say the Shmona Esrei and you would forget to say Yalev V'Yavo, would you be required to repeat the Shmona Esrei? Yes. Maybe we can argue that only by day, where Rosh Chodesh is so significant that you would be required to repeat the Shmona Esrei if you forget Yalev V'Yavo, it is there where you are permitted to recite an independent blessing of Yalev Yavo to replace your Yalev Yavo. Ordinarily, when you say Yalev Yavo, you're not making a blessing. There's no harm done saying Yalev Yavo. It's only, you can say Hashem's name in prayer, Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu Yalev Yavo. No big deal. You can say Hashem's name all you want. You have a whole siddur full of tefillahs that have Hashem's name in it. To make a blessing, that's a crime. To make a blessing, levatol. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Asher Nosan Roshei Chodeshim Li'amo Yisrael. That you're not allowed to do that. There are special exceptions. If you forgot to say in the middle of Birchas Hamazon, we permit you to make an independent blessing after Bonei V'Rachamav Yerushalayim Amen. But that's a serious thing to do. Maybe you can argue that the permission to make an independent blessing is only by day. Because by day, it's so significant, the day, Chazal made the bracha to be said sometime. The bracha was created. It must have been created for some reason, right? It was created to be said sometime. So by day, it's significant, because if you forget to say Yalla V'Yavo in davening, you would be required to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei. So now we understand that by day, you're supposed to say Yalla V'Yavo in benching. If you forget entirely, okay, let bygones be bygones. But if you don't forget entirely and you're stuck in the middle and now you realize after this point, okay, then you can make the bracha of, you can make this bracha. But at night, when the whole essence of the evening is weak, it's so weak that if you forget to say in the Shemoneh Esrei, Yalla V'Yavo, you do not repeat the Shemoneh Esrei. Bez is not Mekadesh at night. So it's one thing, you can say Yalla V'Yavo in the benching. But maybe to go so far and make an independent blessing with a Shemu Malchus, when you forget to say Yalla V'Yavo, maybe that you should not be permitted to do. Maybe that's an abuse of this halacha. This halacha for Rosh Chodesh is for day, not for night. Now this also touches upon the question we asked before. Well, let's ask the question, are you yoytze your obligation of having a meal on Rosh Chodesh with the su'uda at night? If this is the meal that you're going to have for, so if it's significant enough, this moment, to fulfill your obligation, what is your obligation? Is the obligation just a custom? Is it a real mitzvah? If it's so significant, then yeah, why not? You should be able to make the bracha. Everything here comes together and creates an enormous degree of confusion. The bottom line in this sefer that I have here, he paskins the halacha l'maisa, you can make the bracha. He concludes, after everything is said and done, yes, even at night, if you forget to say Yalla V'Yavo, yes, you have permission to make that independent blessing. But the point we want to come away with from the end of the shir is to appreciate that even though that's the halacha and that's what we do, it's a chiddush. It is, after all, a very, very, very powerful chiddush, because it's a very complicated time. The night of Rosh Chodesh is a complicated time in regard to the issue of having a meal, of celebrating Rosh Chodesh. We discussed one explicit mention in the Talmud, Yushalmi, for four reasons, and each reason you can dissect how that would affect the night before. We have the fact that we have the very big, and also besides the night before, there also the question of what exactly is the nature of the obligation in general to have a su'ud, a meal. Is it, do you have to have a real meal of bread? Does the meal just need to be something a little bit different? And take with that the reality that in davening in Shemoneh Esrei, when you forget to say Yalla V'Yavo, you do not repeat. You do at night, but day you do. And benching, you never repeat. And it's night. So you have so many different factors, so many different elements coming against you to tell you, you know, cut your losses. If you forgot to say Yalla V'Yavo in the Birchas Hamazon, even though you're up to Bonei V'Rachmav, now you're up to Bonei V'Rachmav Yishleim Amen, and now you have a dilemma, you want to make a bracha, you want to make an independent bracha, you know, you don't even have to have a meal altogether. If you would forget the whole thing, you would be exempt. You wouldn't have to repeat the benching. It's night. Who says that now you can fulfill your obligation? Shemoneh Esrei, you wouldn't repeat anyway. And it's a weak moment. It's a weak moment. You can argue very strongly, cut your losses. Don't make this independent blessing. It's a very weak moment at that time to say, make the bracha b'nei v'rachma v'shalim amein. But yet the bottom line is you can. It's a fascinating thing. You can make the bracha even at this moment in time, despite all of its weaknesses and its sensitivities. Rabbi Sai, the main thing is we shouldn't forget. We'll leave it at that. Have a wonderful day. Thank you. And Hashem, we'll continue. We'll see tomorrow what we'll do. We'll see. Okay, Zaygezel.
Have a good night. Thank you very much.
Zaygezel. Mark, how are you feeling, Mark?
Good, Baruch Hashem.
How's the voice? Yeah. You sound good. Yeah.
Scan the noon. Next Tuesday, I have an appointment with Dr. Peak Wu. Peekaboo.
Peekaboo? Peekaboo? Chinese?
He's going to peek into your throat, and then you're going to say boo.
Okay.
Okay, you should be gesund. You should be well, or a full shlem, 100%. You sound good. You sound better.
Yeah, I sound good, but...
Is it getting better?
Yeah, I mean, I never had discomfort, really. But I feel that it's not the same. But they want to check it out. Anyway...
You know, you sound much better. You really, really, really sound much better. Mir Tashem, refuah shalem.
I got the omelet last night.
You sound much better. Refuah shalem, 100%. Come back all the way. All the way. Your son was here. He was looking for you today. Baruch, your son was here in the very like 9:40. He wanted to say hello to you.
He's on standby.
What?
He's on standby.
What do you mean?
He's supposed to work every day of the week. Since they have the COVID, they don't want so many people, whatever, working this and that. So he has to be on standby.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't go in case they call him.
Right.
He has to go in.
So he was here today in Midwood. He was here in the morning. He was in the room here. He wanted to say hello to you on the screen.
That means I'm still by.
Okay.
Baruch Hashem.
All right. Very good. I'm
well,
still.
See, now he gave me the thing about the shoes, the boots. Name of the company.
Oh yeah. No, you want to stay online for 1 second? I'll go look it up.
Okay, have a nice day, everybody.
Zeigesund. Zeigesund. Stay online. I'll tell you.